Hello and welcome to the BSG podcast. I am your host, Chase, who cannot get a break in Rocket League. But guess what? Who's here who also cannot get a break? Quinn. How are you doing today, Quinn?
Terrible, but I'm here. I'm also still a little bit sick still, which is
fucking
bizarre terrible. It's almost been, it's like 9 days. 9 days for a stupid like head cold to kill me.
Nine days for being a useless piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know who we are BSG. We are the BS Gamers Podcast, and we're an informative bi-weekly podcast focused on gaming news and discussions. On Mondays, we go over the news for the week, covering everything gaming without the BS. And on Wednesdays, we pick up a juicy topic or game to review and give our half-informed opinions. Today is a Wednesday, and today we have a game. What game do we have, Chase?
Today we'll be reviewing Pokemon Masters on the iPhone and Android. So this will be exciting because not only is this our first mobile game that we're reviewing, but I guess in some ways it'll be interesting to review a game that is technically free. So yeah, this is going to be fun to review.
Sure. If you want to do us a solid or leave us your impressions on the game, you can do so at BS Gamers Podcast. We want to tweet on Twitter. We want to see what you have to say. We want to do whatever you got us want us to do. But what we want you to do is we want you to leave a review on our podcast wherever you're listening, whatever platform you choose.
Give me dem ratings.
Give Chase dem ratings.
All right, Quinn, are you ready to get into the review?
I am ready to talk about this game. Yes, okay. Let's go.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of this game. There isn't too much about it, but it does have some good numbers to look at. So this game was first announced by the Pokemon Company on May 29th, 2019. It is the first collaboration with developer of the, DNA. They are the people who developed Fire Emblem Heroes and Super Mario Run. Definitely Fire Emblem, very good game. The concept of the game was to have all the past Pokemon and Pokemon characters to be all found in one game. And the Pokemon Masters was released worldwide August 29, 2019 on iOS and Android phones. It was not released, however, in Belgium and the Netherlands due to their loot box ban, so an interesting fact. But here's some good news about them. Within 4 days of its release, it has been downloaded 10 million times, and it has already recorded in that time $10 million revenue. Now it has recorded over $26 million. And then, so that's pretty much it for the development history. It's been doing pretty well. It's been out in 27 countries. It plans to be in more countries. And it's making not only a lot of money, but it's the number one app right now in revenue. So it's doing pretty well right now. What do you think about those numbers, Quinn? Anything strike you as
interesting? Well, it's hard to tell because I wonder how much money was put into the app.
That is a great question that I wish I could answer.
Right.
They don't always post
because
that.
There are some games that are like hundreds of million dollars are put in. So I wonder if like 26 million is a hefty amount compared to how much they've spent for the game. And ultimately they have to spend
right? They have to put in the marketing and all that stuff and all that cost. And one of the things that's different about this game compared to others is that not only is it using the Pokemon brand, but the graphics are quite good for this. So they definitely had to sink in a lot of money for this. The only thing that maybe if it could have been cheaper is that there is a disputed fact about it. This is from the Puckle podcast from the Pokemon Underground Champions League, if you don't know them. They're pretty reputable, but there's reason to believe that the Pokemon models are coming from the 3DS, specifically Pokemon Sun and Moon. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't find that to verify it. And so I'm only able to verify this based on a podcast that, looks a lot more into the Pokemon stuff. But if that were the case, it would definitely cheapen the price, because no matter what, they had to probably pay some form or amount of money to use the Pokemon brand name in order to sell this game. So if they were able to reduce costs by taking or importing 3DS models into the game, that would have helped immensely, because one of the things about this game is that they right now do not have all the characters and models of or Pokemon, the trainers and the Pokemon that are in this game. So if they plan to add more and more of these characters, it's going to cost them quite a bit of money. And logically, you're going to make less money over time, usually. I mean, that's not always the case. But usually a game is really big at the beginning, and then it dies down a little bit and maybe hits a steady pace of how much per month.
Right.
So there's a lot of debate to see. But unfortunately, because this is a mobile game, you do not get a lot of information about mobile games as compared to like other, you could say AAA games, even indie games. In fact, they don't get a lot of development information that you get to read about as compared to AAA games.
Right.
So yeah, so that was a mouthful, but yeah, that's where we're at this point in time. We're still a little unsure.
Well, I guess all that leaves is to review the game.
Yes, so let's get into the review, because that's what matters. It has an interesting backstory, whether or not it's true. But yes, let's get into the review.
Well, first off, we're going to talk about graphics, but I do want to mention one thing, and that is that Chase has played this game a lot more than I have, but I have played it. And because the game doesn't really have an end, I don't know what qualifies as it, enough time to play.
It technically does have an end, because
story-wise,
in the base game, there is an ending where it's the end of the story. Like the point of the game, and I'll talk about this more in the story, is to collect badges and then essentially go to the Pokemon Masters League.
Right.
And you do defeat the people in the Pokemon Masters League as well as the champion. And then that's technically the end of the game. And then there's a couple interludes. So that's the base story of it. So if you want to go based off of that, that's what I would consider, quote unquote, beating the game. So I finished that, is my point. Cool. How many chapters did you get into? 4 or 5, maybe?
Who knows? I'll tell you. As we get into the review, you'll understand what happened to me.
And I'll be honest, you don't need to know that much to understand the whole gist of this.
So. Right. You don't. The story aspect is there, but everything else is pretty much rinse and repeat. Yeah. You're doing the same things over and over again. But luckily, the graphics in this game are pretty good. I actually thought they looked pretty good.
Yeah, they look like, I think, a 3DS, a really high-end 3DS game. In fact, I would compare it to the most recent Pokemon game, Pokemon Sun and Moon, in terms of graphics. Like, those are pretty good. Like, if you look at early 3DS games, you know, they're a little bit janky. But then you see this game, it looks great. It's cel-shaded. If you want to give it a comparison to another game, maybe to help, like a Dragon Ball, what would it be? Would you say the newest one is a good comparison? Maybe a little bit older than that Dragon Ball FighterZ.
It looks like any 3D anime game. Like, cel-shaded is a very vague word because Borderlands is technically cel-shaded as well, but that has a very distinct look.
It kind of looks like, I guess, Dragon Quest XI has that similar idea too. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at.
Right. It does look like, that's a good example. Like, just the cartoony anime turned into 3D models is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Very clear, solid colors. You know, there aren't really lighting effects per se, so.
No, there isn't really in this game.
It's going for the cartoony look, and it does it well.
And it does it well. Like it when I so one of the things they definitely I don't know if they could have gotten these models, they probably had to make it themselves for sure. Is like the Misty and the Brock models, because those were from older generations. And then to see them in this game, they looked great. They looked well done. The Pokemon and the Pokemon trainers look like they both fit in the same world. It just doesn't seem that weird. I mean, the animations that you see with the battles maybe are a little weak, Like, I'm talking about specifically the colors that you see when you do, like, your sync move or, like, any of your special abilities. Maybe those are a little weak in terms of, like, they're just like, sprays of color. But, right. I mean, they do have variety. Similar. They do have variety. So, I mean, it's pretty good for a... It's really good, I should say, for a mobile game.
Right. I think the... In Pokemon fashion, you can tell that a lot of things are, like, being used multiple times. Mm-hmm. Like, Pikachu has multiple attacks, but they all fairly have the same, like, particle... Well, not even particle effects, the same effects.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the movements are all the same across different characters and different Pokemon. And so, I feel like that's very Pokemon in general. Like, Right. They don't like to put a whole lot of time into making, because there's so many Pokemon and so many characters, to make everything unique is really difficult. And I understand that. But, yeah, if you're playing the game for... I've only played for a couple hours, and you could tell, like, okay, the battling is where the style of the game, like the graphical fidelity, kind of loses a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
During the story and actually, like, going through characters and stuff, I think they did a really good job and everything's bright and colorful, etc. But the battle screen is definitely, it feels a little bit watered down from the rest of the game in terms of graphical fidelity.
Each character doesn't have their own, uniqueness to it.
Right.
So I think they did it based off of certain archetypes for each Pokemon. Because I know in, like, the original Pokemon games, you could see, like, certain Pokemon have, like, body archetypes. And so maybe they did something like that where, like, Lycanroc, which is one of the Pokemon you get, has a very similar attack to, I think it's Dustox or something like that. It's one of the gym leader's Pokemon. And they have the same animation, essentially, when they do their physical attack.
Right.
At least that's my idea, is that I'm in agreement with you that it's watered down in the battle system, but it still looks good. Nonetheless.
Well, the other thing, too, to think about, and this is, like we said, with his hearsay at the moment, is that all of these things could have just been ripped from another game. So it's like, even there is potential that this game costs, like, nothing and is just reused assets everywhere besides the story.
And honestly, that's what I would hope. And it's not because, like, oh, that's a terrible idea. It's because, like, they've already put a lot of work into the other Pokemon games, and they might as well just take that and then focus on doing better on other things. One of the things that they're doing, and we'll talk about this later, is events, and they seem to be consistent, and I'm hoping that that's what it continues with. Like, that's where they're going to put their focus, rather than having to make brand new characters every time to roll out with. But we'll see. I think that's enough for graphics. Do you want to move on to story?
Yeah, let's go to story.
Okay. So for the story is very lackluster. And I'll give you the reason why. So pretty simply is, you're a Pokemon trainer and you came to this artificially made island known as Paizo. And your goal is to collect 5 badges in order to battle the Pokemon Masters League. And that's really it. Okay, that's it. That's the whole point of the game. You can get that in the first 10 seconds. Now, there are certain sub-stories in the game, but they're not that pertinent. One of them being is that you are trying to get more information about why you're able to use these sync moves. And this is similar to the idea of, like, when playing Pokemon Sun and Moon, there were these Z crystals that gave you the ability to do special moves. Now, your goal, and it's like 2, maybe 3 missions, I can't remember, is to get more information about that. Now, one of the other things that happens in this game is that they need to have something like Team Rocket, because every game has a Team Rocket in Pokemon.
Right.
And this one, like, I still don't know the name. I am assuming it's called, they're called Team Mask Break? Or something.
Team Break,
I believe. Is it Team Break? Okay.
Oh, you were playing with the Japanese stuff?
Yeah, was I playing with the Japanese stuff?
Like the Japanese subtitles?
No.
I was playing with the American version, and I think they say it's Team Break.
Okay.
But yeah, I agree. I like kept forgetting because I was like, you know.
I thank you for remembering because I didn't want to look it up and I couldn't find it. No one really cared about the story that much to actually get into it. So my assumption is like they played this for a little bit, the people who reviewed this, and didn't actually know who the team was.
Right. Yeah. So I just looked it up to verify it is Team Break.
Okay. So this Team Break, they wear these black and white masks. And so basically, they're trying to steal your Pokemon. It's as simple as that. I don't think they have an ulterior motive, no matter as you go further into the game. Maybe this will get answered beyond the base story. But the whole point is to steal your Pokemon. Okay.
Right. They're just serving as Team Rocket.
Yeah, basically. They're serving a Team Rocket purpose.
And that's it. That's it's all... And like you were saying, and I haven't gone through the whole story, but I felt it was pretty, like, it was pretty bare bones in a lot of ways. Like, it's very basic in terms of what's going on. Even the side story missions, which aren't even missions, you just basically read text from a character.
And one of the worst part is that they don't actually have voices, which we'll talk about later, but it makes it so much more unbearable.
Right, and I'll even get into what I ended up doing, but sometimes it's just a little too over the top basic. Like, there's one character you meet, and like in the context of the game, the character is staring at you and like his best friend who's with you, accompanying you, and he's like, "Oh, you're Team Break. I'm gonna fight you," and it's like, oh my god, like it was just a little bit over the top. Like, it was like, oh, he's so, you know, passionate right now that he's thinking you're Team Break when you obviously don't have masks and you're with his best friend, but whatever, like, conflict.
Yeah, so a lot of the, like, conflicts are useless. These are I saw an apt description in another person's review is that the dialogues are completely useless, and I'm like, I'm 100% in agreement. Like, a lot of it is supposed to maybe be some form of character development or like character information. But like one of the examples is Blaine and I guess, I don't even remember her name, Flannery, I think is her name. And they're fighting each other and Blaine says, hey, you should take her with you to become stronger. And like you went through this whole, I guess, arc, you could say, with Flannery and Blaine, just to say like, oh yeah, she's gonna join you and help you along the way. It's right. It doesn't serve anything. There's nothing interesting about the character. All you know is that she just wants to fight you. She doesn't have like this secondary objective where she wants to defeat Team Break or something. Like, it doesn't add to the story. Like, you could have done anyone else, and it's pretty much the same story.
Right. I felt like all the story elements were essentially to give you other trainers. Yeah, and that's it. Like, if, yeah, that is what it was. It was just like story elements to serve, like, oh, you're going to need this type of Pokemon in the future. So we're giving you this weird story, side story thing that doesn't make any sense and isn't very good, so that we can give you this trainer to prepare you for your next, like, battles.
Yeah. And, the point we're trying to get at here is the story was not good. We don't recommend it. I recommend pressing the skip button, because the good news about this game is that the best thing about it isn't the story. It's like the gameplay and the graphics. So if you like those in Pokemon games, just press the skip button and then play those parts of the game and you'll be happy.
Right.
All right, yeah, let's get into the gameplay, actually, because I think I'm done with story.
There's nothing else for the story, yeah. Let's go to gameplay.
So, this game is a mobile RPG with some leveling up mechanics through either battling and items. The battles are 3v3 with an ATB, so active time battle system, where you're required to use those bars as it grows and in order to attack. Each Pokemon technically has 4 attacks. Technically, like I said, you start out with 2 and then you unlock those using items. So that's one of the grind. That's where I'm going to get into the grinding stuff later. Along with these 4 attacks, you do have a center button for each of your Pokemon, known as a sync move, allowing you to do essentially major damage. And then the structure of this game is that there are 18 main chapters with two interludes. And then once you go through those, or if you don't have enough strong Pokemon to go through those, there are things you can do, such as events that happen. It seems to be a weekly basis what they're doing, but they stay on for about a month. You also have training areas, which give you ways to help level up your Pokemon faster, help to get these things known as aids, A-D-E-S, so like Gatorade, you could think of it, for your types of Pokemon that need to get strengthened either through unlocking your level caps or obtaining more moves. There's also co-op. So what you can do is you can have Quick Connect, where you just meet up with random people. You can't really talk to them, but you can meet up with them really quickly and then do co-op missions. Basically, they're the same thing as the single player missions, but now you have teammates. So that's essentially the idea. You could also do it with friends. So if you are getting very geeky and actually want to find friends in order to, I guess, be better at the game, I do recommend it, because then you can actually perform strategies. One of the things, as I was mentioning, is that there's a lot of grinding. You have to get things such as capsules, and I guess let's just call them Gatorades for now on. You have to collect a lot of different types of Gatorades in order to break your level ceiling and break your potential. You also don't have to, but you can collect gems or purchase them in order to roll new characters. So how that works is you don't get just a new Pokemon, you get a trainer and a Pokemon. So at the moment, there's about 66, 67 new characters that you can get. And it's necessary to do this in the long run, because one of the interesting things about this game is that there are weaknesses for each battle that you do, and you need to collect as many different types in order to build that versatility. So in the end, it does become necessary to roll for these Pokemon. So that's the bare bones of it. Okay. All right.
Are you okay, Chase?
It was a lot to say. I know. It's right. I try to do it as concise as possible. There is a lot of things going on.
I applaud you.
Thank you. Talk about the battle system, Quinn. What was your first impressions?
Well, so the battle system, like Chase was saying, is a action time based, or whatever you
call it. It's active time battle.
Active time ATB. Battle. Which is, you essentially have a energy meter that is broken up into different bars, and time builds each bar up until you have a full energy meter. Each bar can either be put towards an attack, or some attacks require two bars, etc.
Or three, yep. I haven't seen four yet. I'm waiting to see if that becomes a thing, but...
Right, so it's essentially a game where you have to wait until the energy fills up, and then you can attack, etc. For pretty much every single battle I've gone, it's been fairly obvious the way to win. Mm-hmm. And like, that was, or at least that aspect of it is a little bit problematic for me.
It gets a lot more complicated and complex as you get to the higher levels. Because at one point, even if you have the weaknesses, it may not be the best method into taking them down.
Right.
Especially with the fact that there's a star rating system for each Pokemon and their Pokemon trainer.
Right.
So 5-star being the highest at the moment, you don't need those, because I actually looked at the tier rating system. And this is actually interesting in itself. If you look at the tier rating system, not all of them are just 5-stars. A lot of them are, some of them are 4-star, even 3-star. There was one 3-star for like a tier S, which is the highest ranking rating system for their moves, abilities, and stuff like that.
I think the tier system, like the stars, is rarity and not necessarily strength.
That's true. But the higher your rarity, the in general, the better.
Yeah, the more likely they're going to be better than everyone else. Yeah.
And one of the reason why I'm getting to this is like, you get into these battles which are very difficult. They're called the very hard battles in the game, aptly named. And one of the things that makes it fun is that you don't just put Pokemon in for weaknesses. You may have to put them in for stat debuffing, which is a main part of this game, is buffing your Pokemon and debuffing your Pokemon.
Right.
Excuse me, not your Pokemon, the opponent's Pokemon. You want to debuff them, not yourself.
Well, buffing your Pokemon, debuffing their Pokemon. Yeah.
So that is a very important aspect in the game. For example, just to give a clear thing, one of the Pokemon I have is Houndoom. And one of the special abilities he has is Snarl, which basically lowers special attacks, which is very important if you're playing against Pokemon that are non-physical attackers. So if they use like Ice Beam or, what's another one? I think Stone Edge. I think Stone Edge is non-physical. But anyways, moves that are non-physical can be lowered using Snarl. And then by doing this, you make their sync moves much weaker, because one of the problems in the higher level tiers is that they can fuck you up. Like, they can one-shot you unless you're debuffing the team and buffing yours.
Right.
So it actually gets very complex in that sense by what's a good combination of Pokemon. Especially if you want to beat them without having every single one being their weaknesses. Because unfortunately, the likeliness that you're going to have a very good Pokemon that is their weakness is not always the surest bet. You're more likely, what's going to happen is you're going to have a couple of good Pokemon that you need to use and somehow maximize their potential in the game. So yeah.
Well, one thing to note is that pretty much for just playing the game, you get 10 free 5-star Pokemon.
No, that's not true. I must have said that incorrectly.
No, I have enough gems to get the 10 pack of.
But you don't get a 5-star Pokemon necessarily.
They're all guaranteed. It says 5 stars guaranteed on all of them.
No, that is factually inaccurate.
I will open it. I will open the game and do it live. I'm doing it live.
While you do that. So one of the things that they do have, it is if you can do the 10 pack. So if you pay for 3,000 gems, you are guaranteed 1 5-star in the 10 roll. Another one. So they have a interesting aspect in this game where there's a difference between paid and unpaid gems. And so because of that differentiation, there are certain types of roles that you can do. And one of the disadvantages actually is that you can save your unpaid gems and do the 10 pack roll, but it makes no difference as compared to if you just did a 1-pack roll. The only one that makes a difference is if you do the 10 paid gem roll or the 10 pack one, that guarantees you at least 1 5-star.
Ah, I see. Okay, yeah. So this is the difference is that it's the paid one. That's why I was. This is the one thing that bothers me is that with the. There are differences between paid gems, quote unquote, and in-game earned gems.
Exactly. Which is
really annoying because it's basically disguising the fact that there's two different types of currencies, your money versus in-game currency.
And they look the same.
And they are, they are shown and stored the same way, which is like not something I'm into. But no. Getting back to the gameplay just for a second, one thing that I want to mention is that this is how I've been playing the game as of this point, and that is because the story doesn't matter, and the gameplay at the moment is uncomplicated.
It is not. I agree.
So this is how I've been playing it. You can select auto, and the game will play itself. And so I just put it on max speed, auto, and then that's it. So essentially, at the moment, my experience with the gameplay, or the game as a whole, is the game plays itself and I do nothing. I literally have to just skip through story elements and select what next I want to do, and everything else does itself.
Yes, this is kind of like a game as if you decided a loadout, you could say, and then right. you let it do everything for you. It's right. that type of
and
game.
And I do right? not like that. I personally do not like the fact that because there's nothing actively engaging me.
Right.
And because of that, if I'm not going to be engaged, then why play it in the first
place? And I respect that, because this game is definitely not meant to be played as if you are completely engaged. There are points in it where you can be, and those are the harder battles.
Right.
That's the only point, though. I'd say there's only like 3, maybe 4 battles. Let's say 10, because, well, let's say there are
sure,
2 battles. There are only 2 types of battles where you would want to be engaged in, which is at the end game, which is when right. you're doing the very hard missions. And that would be either in the training area, or that would be in the event area. And that's it. Those are the only 2 right. points you would ever care about. The rest of them you could potentially auto battle and then win.
Right.
So what's good about that, though, is if you're the type of person who doesn't have time, or better, you want to multitask, this is a very good game for you.
Right.
Because as you said, you can auto battle a lot of things, and then you can essentially avoid a lot of grinding that you would have to do by physically looking at it. Because that's one of the main things about this game, and all purchasable games, free to play, is that there's a lot of grinding. In this game, there is a fuck ton of grinding to do in order to level up your Pokemon. And there's some good news. There's a sparkle of good news, is that there is no energy system when playing this game. So you can play this indefinitely. So that's the good news. The bad news
is it does warn you. The game does warn you. Misty or another character will be on screen and say, "Hey, you should stop playing." Or like, "Hey, you should think about not playing as much." Because even when I would log on, let's say like 1 in the morning, Misty would be like, "It's pretty late. You should go to bed, maybe." So it's interesting that you can play this game indefinitely, or grind this game indefinitely to get the things that you need. But they do, warn you every so often.
One of the nice things I wish they had, or no, sorry, not they had. I wish I had a script or some way, and I'm sure there is, a way to play this game without having to physically be on it. Like
right,
myself.
While you sleep.
No. Not even by them, but like literally get a program to do it for me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you can go sleep and the game's still grinding for you.
That would be beautiful. And it's not because at this point, it's not about the game anymore. This would be like, how could I sell my account to make some money out of this? that would be my only
point.
How
do I get a chunk of that 20-something million dollars?
Because I'll be honest, a lot of this isn't that fun. The only reason why I like playing these games is because I get to see all the old Pokemon that I want to see. Because you'll see right. in the future, as it has happened with Generation 8 coming out, is that they are not going to allow certain Pokemon into the game because, quote-unquote, they do not have enough room in order
right. Animation restrictions. Yeah. They sure. don't have enough time to animate everything.
Yeah, for whatever reason. It's most likely that, but for whatever reason, they just don't. They can't. So the second best place to play Pokemon then would be this one. If you want to get all your Pokemon or see all the characters from the other games.
Well, before we, it almost feels like we're coming to a conclusion, but before we do that, I want to finish the last couple categories here.
Okay.
And I think you pretty much talked about pacing, that there's no energy system, so you can play indefinitely. The game is broken down into these different story elements, but ultimately those the pacing is kind of play at your own pace. You really do it as much as you want or as little as you want.
Right.
So let's get into sound.
So for the sound, I think it's fine. It's decent. It's bombastic is like the best word I could think of. Like it's not slow, it's not relaxing, it's just really in your face whenever they do the music, and it really sounds like Pokemon music.
And that's I totally think it reminded me of Pokemon the instant I turned it on.
Yeah. So does this game feel and sound like a Pokemon game? It definitely does. Now, I guess how do you describe Pokemon music? It's usually very loud. I don't want to say obnoxious. That's not what I'm trying to get at, but
it's very cheerful, playful, bombastic, I guess, as you used.
I couldn't think of a better word, because it's like like banging into your head, but it's not a bad thing.
Right.
Although it does get annoying.
It makes itself known.
Yeah.
Like it's loud and cheerful enough that you're like, I can hear you. But it's not like you said, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, oh, I hear the music and it sounds like a Pokemon game. Cool.
But here's the problem. It has voice acting technically.
Sometimes.
Technically.
Right.
And the reason why we say that is because it's like a gesture system is like my best way to describe it. Like if you play an MMORPG or some other large game, let's say you're not able to use the chat system for whatever reason. A good example is like playing Final Fantasy 14 on your PlayStation 4, where you do not have a keyboard, you have your controller. So the quickest way to do stuff is to use emotes, or I guess gestures. And so you can
gestures.
And so with these gestures, you essentially see those from the characters, and then sometimes they make an extra sound with it. So like if they're happy, usually there's a archetype for that. It's like they do a certain movement, and then they say something like, yeah, all right, or something. Or if something bad happens, they go, oh no, and they shake their head. And so basically each model of character has that type of
gesture system.
And that is it. So if they want to say a three-page essay, you know, to you, they do a couple of gestures. Excuse me. I know you hate me saying that.
One thing though is that I did hear one fully voice acted line by Misty, and it was when she was telling me to go to bed.
So they wanted to make sure you heard that part, because there's probably people.
I was so confused too, because I was like, "Whoa, there's voice lines? Like, what's going? There's voice lines only for this? It's so bizarre." And this actually goes back to one other thing I want to talk about, is that it goes back to the story thing where. So the player has, you can respond, right, to these gestures, and like, if someone's like, oh no, and something bad happened, they might ask you to say something, and both options are always exactly the same.
I know, it's terrible.
It's exactly the same. They're like, oh, tell them good job, or tell them it'll be okay. Like, those are your two options.
You have no free will.
There's no free will.
It's not good. But again, I think that's exactly what a Pokemon game is like. So is it a problem if this game is trying to be like a Pokemon game, because it's not made by the Pokemon company? Did they do a good job if it's like a Pokemon game?
I think they it feels like a Pokemon game, but I feel like that, even giving the player the option, is like a slap in the face.
Yes, I don't think they should have done it, but they do this in Pokemon games as well, where they give you sometimes options to say things, even though that doesn't actually matter.
Right.
So that's why I'm just like, that's why I'm just laughing so hard in my mind that they did it. They created a game that replicates Pokemon. But the problem is they replicate a lot of things that at least I hate.
They're bad about the game, yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's it for sound. I mean, we could say that the battle animations, when those sounds are made, they sound normal. There's nothing weird about them.
Yeah, I mean, they all sound like what you would expect. They're kind of generic-y Pokemon sounds, you know? Like, it just... Yeah, like, what are you going to do? Like, you've heard... Thunderbolt or whatever Pikachu's move is 1,000 times anyways, from the animes to other games, that you know it's gonna sound the same,
right? Yeah, okay, so I feel good about that. Then let's move on to replayability.
Well, I guess I'll let you talk more about this one, because you're at the end game.
Yeah, you don't actually want to replay this.
Well, I don't actually want to.
when I said, hey, we should review this game, you were like, sure, I'll play. And then you like shot yourself in the foot to keep yourself going. So the replayability is actually fairly decent if for what it is, because what it sounds like is that they're coming out with weekly content for each time. Now, whether or not you want to consider this good content or bad, that's a whole nother ball game.
Right.
But they come out with events each week. And so with each event, like the first one that I played is you can play with Gary, or excuse me, you can fight against Gary, or I guess technically Blue in this case. They both look identical. But
they serve the same purpose.
Yeah. So you can fight against Blue, and you basically gain some vouchers in order to trade to help with the grinding, to help it, I guess, unlock or make your Pokemon's potential better faster. So that's the event system with it. It sounds like they're going to add more Pokemon trainers. Like they did, they added Blue, where you get a higher chance to get him with Pidgeot. In the second week, they added this like rock month, or I guess rock week, where having rock Pokemon is the advantage against your opponents. You're fighting against, I believe, Blaine and Flannery, something like that. So they do this each week. And so it adds things to do, because they do take a while to actually get all the stuff from the vouchers that you obtain. So it has a lot of replay value. You can go to the training areas to, I guess, strengthen your Pokemon that way constantly. So there's a lot of replayability here. And as I said, this may not be your cup of tea, especially if you hate repeating the same shit over and over again. But yeah, it has replayability. I put on auto, though.
Well, then I guess all that leaves is the conclusion. Is this good, bad, bullshit? What is it, Chase? I have my own opinions, and maybe I should say mine first.
Say yours first.
I'm uninstalling this game.
And I think that's a fair point.
I think, like, the good thing about Pokemon Go, like, this is, if comparing it to Pokemon Go, in almost every respect, Pokemon Go is a better game. Like, yes. Gameplay-wise, I think it is better. It keeps you engaged. Story-wise, there's not necessarily a story, but there is, like, a community-driven story where you can, like, capture gyms and stuff as a color,
and
as a team.
I want to say that there isn't a story, but there is a big thing that was updated a couple months ago where they added Team Rocket, or I guess in this case, Team Go Rocket. And tell me how much more interesting this sounds to you, where Team Go Rocket takes over Pokemon's Twitter and starts threatening New York and other cities that they're going to take over the world.
Now they're going to do events and stuff in those cities?
They did, actually, where single Pokestop got taken over by Team Rocket. And so you had a battle against them in order to, by Team Go Rocket. And then you had to battle against them in order to free those Pokestops.
Yeah,
that's doesn't sound cool. Way more fucking interesting than this game.
And it's a game where you can actually be engaged, and you can actually go exercise and walk around with your friends, and it's not like autopilot and miserable, and I have to check back on it every 5 seconds or every time I lose a Rocket League game to see what else happened.
Yeah, so I agree. Pokemon Go is a far better game to play compared to Pokemon Masters.
But I have a feeling that this game is way more up your alley, whether that alley is addiction or not.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the game? Would you recommend it? Would you buy it? Would you spend money on it?
Well, I definitely recommend people who play Pokemon to play this game. And it's mostly for nostalgia factors. You get a chance to see all the gym leaders that you saw in very high quality. You also get to see other like famous characters in the game in high quality as well. And the Pokemon have like a lot of the, you could say, fun moves when they do their sync moves and stuff like that. Those look fun to watch, and they're unique for each Pokemon. So like if your favorite is Houndoom, his sync move evolves into Mega Houndoom, and then he does a super crazy dark attack. And I mean, that's fun in one sense, that you get to see a lot of the Pokemon that you have nostalgia for doing new things and in a in a, I guess, 3DS-esque environment or high-quality environment. So I think it's worth it for those people who love Pokemon. And if you do play this game and you continue to play it, don't pay more than $20.
Also, tweet us at BS Gamers Podcast, and maybe you can play with Chase, the one and only.
Yeah, you can friend me. I wish I had my number off the top of my head, but Quinn told me to put my phone away so it doesn't vibrate constantly.
But you can tweet us, and he'll give it to you.
Yeah, tweet us, and I'll give it to you. I like playing this game. I'll probably continue playing this for at least another month, maybe two. So yeah, definitely come out, hang out with me. I think it'll be worth your time.
Well, I think that's probably it for the review. Chase says it's good enough if you like Pokemon, and I say it's not. But I think we did a good job. This was good. Everyone, you know, if you made it this far, thank you very much. Like we said, you can talk to us on Twitter at BS Gamers Podcast. I apologize. And if you want to do us a solid, you can leave us a review on any platform you listen to podcasts on. It'd be great.
Yes, we really need those ratings. We're a non-existent podcast trying to become existent. And so we would love your ratings and reviews. We want to do this more. And if we get some more love from you guys, from the community, it'll help us a lot. It'll make us want to do more.
Yeah, so thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
See you later.